Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome everyone to Good Friday, Great Friday, Wonderful Friday. Well, it's a wonderful Friday looking back, but if you were present 2,000 years ago, it would have been horrendous Friday. It's a good Friday because of His love and because He's risen. Amen. I want to share with you Psalm 22. How many are familiar with Psalm 22? Everybody is familiar with Psalm 23. Everybody knows. Psalm 22 is a prophetic psalm. So I want to read through Psalm 22. The screen's at the back. Maybe I should get out of the way so you can see the screen. Let's read through, and I'd like to share that, you know, it's just amazing, amazing prophecy. So can we all read together? Nathan, can you control that? So, okay. Psalm 22. Okay. Are you ready? You can all see the screen? Okay. Can you still see the screen? I can't be invisible. Okay, I'm reading from New King James Version. Okay, we're going to read 31 verses, but it's really worth taking time to read it. All right. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Psalm 22. Sorry. Let's read the heading as well. You know that heading, little heading? That's actually part of the original text. So it's not supplied, but it's part of, in Hebrew Bible, that's verse 1. So in Psalms, all the verses are out of sync because heading is verse 1 in Hebrew Bible, but in English, okay. Anyway, all right. To the chief musician, set to the deer of the dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm, no man, a reproach of man, and despised by the people. All who seek me, they ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, "He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths, like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of the dead. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. Oh, my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. all you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. Amen. Amen. What an amazing, amazing psalm. Psalm 31. You know, Psalm 22. You know, these psalms were sung. So this is actually one of the worship songs that Israel sung in the days of David. And it's amazing that King happens to be a psalmist. So he will write out psalms, and then he will give it to the choir master. And he says, make this a song and sing it in the congregation. And this is in tune of the dawn of a deer dawn. Okay, deer of the dawn. All right, deer of the dawn. All right, good, yeah. So, they were singing. Whatever the tune it was, they were singing it, you know. And it must have been a shock. I mean, if a prime minister composed a song, and all the church sing next day, wouldn't that be interesting? A queen composed a song or something like that. So the David one day woke up and had this and then gave it. Sing this. But it was a shock. It must have been a shock to a choir master. Because not only because of the deep feelings that are in the song, but because also feelings are so real. Pains are so real. But it never happened to them. There is no, facts are not really true yet. And, I mean, how many of you want to sing a hymn that opens up with, God, why did you forsake me? That's the opening song. Opening question. God, why did you not answer me? So that was the song. And you can break into two halves. First half, a man desperately crying out for help. I mean, David had a lot of problems, but he never had a problem of this kind. He's crying out. And then the second half, suddenly, God answers. Everything turns. It's like a light dawns out of darkness. So that was the Psalm 22. So choir master must have been quite shocked. How do I sing this? Man, it's got to start with a minor key, and then suddenly move into major key. Right? Real, real sad ones. How did they know now? We all know. It's the wonderful thing about the Spirit of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about Spirit of Christ that was in the prophets was searching and finding out and declaring the facts ahead of time. In fact, 1,000 years ahead of time, David has written this. It was searching out the sufferings of Christ and the glories that was to follow. Exactly, Psalm 22. The great suffering and the great glory that followed after that. Psalm 22 is an amazing, amazing psalm. 1,000 years later, a man, Jesus. In fact, Bible says, who was in the loin of David, many, many generations ahead, came out. And he said, I am, fulfill this verse. In fact, the opening verse is so real that, you know, how many know Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? You know that? That's exactly the opening verse. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why did you forsake me? When Jesus was on the cross, you know, when you're about to die, you, if you're, you know, bilingual, you go back to mother tongue. And Jesus spoke in Aramaic, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, lama sabachthani. And the question is, my God, this is the question, a dying man with a question, my God, why did you forsake me? It's a bold question. With just a few breaths that Jesus had, he's asking in great pain, why? Why? See, death is very, very unnatural thing, isn't it? Death is not meant to be a normal part of human experience. When God created us in the Adam, you know, the Garden of Eden, we were not supposed to die. We to eat from the tree of life and live forever in fellowship. So death is something foreign, it's horrible, it's not normal, it's alien experience. In fact, it's judicial experience. We call it death sentence. No matter what death, we call it a sentence, sentence of death. And why are we dying? It's because of sin. God created, God is good, God is holy, God created good world, man sinned, and then we spoil everything. So we are not going to spoil his creation forever. Man began to die. We don't live anymore forever. But the question there, question is, when we die, what is the real question behind death? And what is the sentence behind death? It's a separation. When you die, you know, everything that you know, the people that you know, you will have to say goodbye. And no man, well, no man has really died. Once you die, you don't come back to tell what's on the other side. It's a separation. It's a fearful thing. You've never gone that way before. You go, and what awaits? And you have to say goodbye to everything that you know. All the home, people, family, friends, sons and daughters, you have to say goodbye and go. That's the sentence. Now, Jesus is calling it, Jesus is saying in here, first, you know, a couple of verses, he's saying, Father, God, God, why did you forsake me? Why am I suddenly separated? Jesus never experienced broken relationship before. And in the first couple of verses, you see, you, me, Jesus saying, you and me, three times, you and me. It's just prayers and agony. And then there are three times, each time he's saying, you know, but you and me, he's talking of, he's feeling three kinds of pressures coming on him. And that is, for 6 hours, he's just been crying out to God, God, Father, God, God. And he never knew what separation felt like. Whenever Jesus look up and say, I don't even have to say this. Whatever I speak, you listen. I have open communication. And suddenly, for 6 hours, Jesus is writhing and crying out, why? Why? And there is no answer. It's a separation. That's what Jesus experienced. He's feeling loneliness for 6 hours. Forsaken. I mean, Jesus went through sheer hell from Gethsemane. Jesus said, God, Father, if possible, let this cup pass. But if it is your will, I'll take it. And then communication shut down for the first time. It's very important to note that Jesus never lost faith. That's a difference. Sometimes we all go through, Christians go through, you know, also times when you feel God is far away. Heaven is like a brass. You pray and the words just come back. You don't feel the presence of God. How many felt presence of God before? How many know answered prayer? But how many of you felt that you're crying out at some point and it seems that heaven is brass? And Christians call it a dark night of the soul. Sometimes but it doesn't mean when you go through the dark night of the soul that you lost faith in God. Jesus is not questioning God's existence. He is questioning God's presence withdrawn. It's the break of the fellowship. It's not break of the faith. It's not loss of faith, but fellowship and the presence of God, voice of God had been withdrawn. The Father is silent. See, Jesus is hanging there 6 hours crying out for deliverance. And now Jesus is on the cross on his own. His friends are gone. His disciples fled. His mother's gone. John took Mary away. And then Father, silent. And he's crying, "Why have you forsaken me?" Where would you put the emphasis? Why have you forsaken me? 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 I think it would be number four for me. God, why have you forsaken me? Three times his mind goes to ancestors, and it's three times my ancestors, all the others, three times trusted in you. They trusted in you. They trusted in you, and every time they put their trust in the brink of death, in the brink of destruction, you turn around, you answer them, you save them, you deliver them. How come you're silent? Saying, but you are holy. God, nothing's wrong with you. You are holy. You are perfect. The problem can't be with you. But then problem is not with Jesus either. Because Jesus is a perfectly obedient son. All his life, he never experienced this darkness, this cut off communication. And he's saying, why? Why? Why have you forsaken me? And the mental problem, because people around him are now really digging at Jesus, giving him the greatest pain. You know, before Jesus was on the cross, Pilate asked, "Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus said, "I am." You know, when he was debating with Jews, you know, "Who do you think you are?" Before Abraham was, "I am." That means Yahweh. I am. That's why they picked up the stone to stone him. I am. I am. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and life. I am. I am. And the last I am that was on the mind of Jesus when he was on the cross was, "I am a worm, not a man." What happens when you step on a worm? When you cut a worm, it just writhes in pain. It's got no ears, no eyes, no voice. It just bleeds and writhes in pain and say, "I am a worm, not a man." This is how the soldiers and Jews, the friends, 6 days before, "Hosanna, Son of David, deliver us." They just welcomed it like, you know, rock star. And a few days later, they're saying, "Let his blood be on us. Kill him." And they say, "He says he's a favorite son. You know, let God deliver him." Shooting remarks and ridicule him, saying, "I am a worm, not a man." No protest, just writhing and bleeding in pain in the midst of mockery and taunt. Sometimes that's what we feel like, isn't it? That's how the devil does. He hurts you the most. He thinks he's a favorite son. The reason why God is letting him die like that is because he's blasphemed. He's a liar, that's why. That's what they are thinking. And then Jesus' mind goes to 33 years earlier, to his birth. See, something common between birth and death. Both occasions, it's very, very fragile. Especially, you know, it's like an airplane taking off and landing. A lot of things can go wrong, especially for birth of Jesus. He was away from home, 70 miles, and his mother was riding on a donkey. A lot of things can go wrong. Away from home, in a horse trough where they feed in the mud with lots of flies. I mean, he was born into a very unsanitary place. No one welcomed him. He's saying that, but God, you were my God from my birth. You're the one who took care of me. You're the one who cast me upon my mother's lap. You took care of me. You are the one who protected me, brought me all the way up. You are my God. And he's now mangled on the cross, crying out, Father, Father. For 6 hours he's crying out, no answer. What about physical pain? There are animals here. A lot of animals. Somebody said, you know, this morning, yeah, the animals, like bulls of Bashan, dogs, worms, lions, you know, all these things. This is not a pet dog. Yeah, this is a wild, savage dogs in, you know, it's a rabid dogs, like a, more like a pack of hyena. Have you watched those clip? I couldn't stop watching it, you know. Lion and hyena, lion go for a kill. And, you know, these animals just riding in pain, alive, and eating him up, literally alive and crying out. Lions, hyenas, pack of rabid dogs, bulls of Bashan, bulls that's famous for just the wild bulls charging, trouncing on people, saying, it's like Jesus probably feels like a deer. It's like a deer, and all these animals are coming for a kill. Why the animals are used? Because men can behave like beasts. That's exactly what they were behaving like. And even though this is amazing prophecy, crucifixion wasn't invented at the time David was writing this psalm, but crucifixion is described so perfectly. What happens in crucifixion is that the flesh and strength drains out like water. The crucifixion is a horrible way of dying because you're not touching any of the vital organs, slowly bleeding to death with the most amount of pain possible on a beam of wood. And as you hang there with your limbs stretched, see, the bones, all your bones will go out of joints because of the overstretching weight of your body. And then your body dries out like a noonday. You become very thirsty. You're just losing blood. You're losing all the moisture in the body. It's like a desiccator in the noonday. Your body just dries up. And then mouth goes dry until your tongue gets stuck to the roof of your mouth. That's all described here. And hands and feet tears. And then tearing continues. Sometimes they will nail you because the hand will just tear out. David wrote all this 1,000 years before. And then just before you die, you feel your body actually disintegrating and turning as dust even before you actually die. That's all described here. And then even normally what is not true is spoken here is that soldiers took Jesus' garment. Normally they're crucified with humiliating crucifixion. They take the clothes away. And the people who were getting crucified had to carry their cross. Jesus had this garment in one woman thing, and then, you know, the soldiers decided to cast lots instead of tearing it. Even that's described perfectly. It happened exactly. Who can doubt the inspiration of the scripture 1,000 years before? And then even there, Jesus is calling out, deliver me. You can read, deliver me from these wild animals, my life, my only life. And then, you know, this title is the deer of what? Dawn of a deer. Deer of the dawn. I keep deer, dawning. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, suddenly the sun became very dark. Remember that? He's crying out for 6 hours, no answer. And I believe just before he gave his spirit to the Father, light began to break out. And just that one verse, he said, you have answered me, everything turns. Everything changes. You have answered me. From noon to about 3 o'clock, Bible says the sun became darkened. And then with that answer, I believe the light began to dawn in Jesus. In everybody said, Jesus said, it is finished. And he says, Father, the last word, I come into your hands. I commit my spirit, because Jesus suffered enough. It was done. Very, very powerful. Where does Jesus' thought turn? After that, his thought turns to his immediate brothers. I mean, Jewish brothers, inner circle of Jews. Saying, God, you live up to your name. You've delivered me. I'm going to tell the whole world what you've done. And to my brothers, Jews, in a great congregation, I'm going to tell of your great reputation, your name, what you've done. And then he goes on. From there, tell others. And then tell all the other Gentiles, us, ends of the world will be told of this. And even the generation of young, you know, the children who are not even born, they will hear of what you've done. What you've done, that you finished it. You finished the work. That's the story. You know, when Jesus was rose from the dead, from in the road to Emmaus, that was his Jewish brothers. Literally, Jesus fulfilled the scripture. He appeared among his believers, Jewish believers. And then he told them, oh, you slow of heart. You know, you're so slow to believe what the prophets have said. And he began to explain to them everything that was written about him from prophets. I believe Jesus taught them Psalm 22. The sufferings that he was to endure and the glories that was to follow and the glory followed. Even the greatest on earth, you know, when you die, it's all the same. In the coffin, whether you have an expensive, funeral or not, it's just the body in the coffin. Even they will bow down. Because they cannot keep themselves alive. We have this question of death and why. That Jesus' cry, why, has been answered by God. And you know, I'm not just going to finish. You can study this. It's just incredible. A blessing of God here. What God is doing, all the nations of the earth, all the families of the earth, until Jesus comes, even the unborn, whole nation will bow down and worship him. Wow. You know, the last verse here is actually that he has finished it. Or it can be even translated, somebody translated it, it is finished. Who said that? On the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. You've done it. See, it's finished. It's perfect tense, amazingly. Just like what Jesus said. See, Jesus knew this psalm. This is what he was thinking. He says, it is finished. I suffered enough. He's asking, why? And finally, God answered. You know why? Well, first, God finished it. God delivered Jesus. Because in 6 hours, he died. He says, he committed his spirit. God, deliver me. Why aren't you? Jesus said, it's finished. I suffered enough. I suffered everything. All the penalty for the sin came upon Jesus. Jesus absorbed all the wrath of God in his body, became sin. The compounded sin of humanity came upon Jesus. And he drank the cup of God's wrath and indignation against sin. He said, it is finished. And then the light began to dawn. Said, Father, I commit my spirit. God delivered him from pain, torture. He suffered enough. He was taken. But also when Jesus suffered and he experienced hell, 6 hours, cut off from the presence of God. Bible says Jesus did it so that we don't have taste the hell, the pain, while Jesus suffered in 6 hours. We don't have to experience a separation from God, the pain, the torment, the devil's accusation forever and ever. Hallelujah. So we don't have to face this darkness. See, when we face death, how many know that Christians who went and then Jesus sent back, they all say, there's no darkness, see? It becomes brighter. The light dawns in the last minute. You see, most of them, they see the light, right? The cartoon says, you know, oh, don't go to the light because you're going to die. No, for us Christians who know the Lord, the great light dawns. I've heard about other testimonies who rejected the gospel to the deathbed. Suddenly she can say, it's dark, dark, dark. That was her last words. She cried out, it's dark. That's how she died. But Christians, you know the Lord, you walk with the Lord, you follow the Lord, you love the Lord and serve the Lord. You know that Jesus suffered for us. Hallelujah. Amen. And we don't have to suffer. God has done it. God has done it. It is finished. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So I want to, what a savior. Has the light dawned in you? Do you know? You know that Jesus suffered so that we human beings don't have to suffer like that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to just end here. I think I preached enough. So why don't we just thank the Lord. Yeah, thank the Lord. Does anybody want to come up and thank Jesus? You're all sure of your salvation. Yeah, I think I know most people all know that Christ suffered for us and rose again. Hallelujah. So that we will receive a resurrection body. And we're going to live with him forever. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Jesus asked this ultimate question, why? And he experienced his separation. Experienced darkness, death, torture, bleeding. All the curse that is due to come to upon us for our disobedience and sin came upon Jesus, so that all that blessing, love, acceptance, healing, salvation, everlasting life can come upon us who see and believe and confess and follow you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for your amazing love. For in the cross, you've demonstrated, not only you said you love us, not only is it true that you demonstrated your love at the greatest cost to you, so that we can never doubt, we don't have to doubt your love and receive your salvation for free, your love for free. And Father, we live because you died for us and you rose from the dead. Help us to live for you, and also, Lord, to believe in the gospel and to share it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, give me Jesus. That's great. Yeah. You wanna, yeah. Come on. Yeah, come on. Come on. Yeah. Let's sing, Give Me Jesus. Tomorrow, we're going to have lunch provided. Not tomorrow, Sunday. So I just want to let everybody know it's a lunch provided by someone in the church, generous to, so that we can bring your members, your friends, your family members, unchurched people who need to hear the gospel. And we're going to celebrate. We're going to have a short message of God's resurrection, Jesus' resurrection. We're going to celebrate and eat together, okay? So, yeah, bring your friends.
Amen. Feel free to stand or sit or anything, yeah? Let's sing Give Me Jesus in the morning when I rise. Thank you. come to. There's prayer meeting in Jai Hop tonight, yeah? At 7 to 9:30, there'll be prayer meeting led by Sunny Julie, praying for federal election. Very important. Praying for our nation. From 10 to 4, Night Watch, led by Kishiani, we'll pray. We'll pray for Israel. We'll pray for our nation. Our nation needs prayer. So if you want to, feel free to join us. Amen.
Okay, the Lord bless you. We are very loved, yeah? Jesus went through all that so we don't have to taste this horrible separation from God. Amen? Hallelujah. How loved we are. Let's just encourage one another with Jesus' love, His death and resurrection, okay? Lord bless you. Let me just pray for you. Father God, we thank you. Lord, your love is just unfathomable. How you crushed your Son so that, Lord, we can just come out healed and having eternal life, Father God. We thank you. Father, we pray, Lord, that this love that you have will be transmitted, will just resonate in our heart every day and bring life and healing. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. God loves you. Amen. Jesus loves you. Amen.
You can leave the chairs where they are. So, yeah. Very little packing up today. Yeah, we can leave chairs. Nothing happening tomorrow, yeah.